Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Exploring a Crisis, Saturday night, every other Saturday, with Captain B2, Simwa, otherwise known as Bobby, and her trusted co-pilot, Dan Deschino. Are you out
trusted.
There, Shotgun?
I fooled you, didn't I? Trusted, huh? Boy.
I'm totally taken.
There you go. No, I am here. I'm very excited to be here tonight with you, Bobby. Fantastic poems we got going on tonight. So I'm ready to rock. I'm going to give a quick disclaimer. Sometimes I do. Today, I actually tripped on the wire of my computer and knocked it on the floor and broke the connection between the internet and the computer. I fixed it. But if I disappear for a minute, that's my excuse. So I just want to throw that out there just in case.
Equipment repair, we call that the 3-foot drop test.
Exactly. It failed. But it's working. I got it working. I just broke a little piece off. You know, that's what I get for having size 13 feet and being clumsy. So that's what happened. But everything seems to be working good now. So we are ready to rock. And I know Pam stepped away. Is there anybody else here yet tonight besides Captain and myself?
I don't know.
Going once, going twice?
And on that note, I will do is I will open with a couple of things, one of which is this show is is part of a larger group called Late Night Poets. There's some wonderful programs out there every evening, very diverse. A wonderful host, very learned, very articulate, some great poetry. And so we are very pleased to be part of this esteemed group. And speaking of esteemed group and poets, we have a whole boatload. We have a hockey locker. We have a shit ton.
We do. We have a plethora of stuff today.
I put on my track shoes. And if we get callers, I think we ought to do is just defer to the callers as far as comments. But let's keep them pithy, aka precise and to the point. And hopefully we'll get through because we have holdovers from Pritikalo. We have like four of them, or five of them, and so we need to get through those first.
We absolutely would, I think we're just going to get started because we have so much stuff going here. Now, I'm going to post the first one. I'm going to give it a read. But while I'm doing that, Bobby, if you wouldn't mind, I believe you posted the link for our May 1st show. So if you want to repost the one for on the thing. So that's a good one. I hope people can listen to it.
That make a difference?
Again, you need your time machine to call that one. So, yeah.
I warned you I was under the weather today. I'm not perking on all eight cylinders. So let me see what I can do.
Well, okay. I'm only on my first glass of wine, so I'll be the responsible one today.
All right. Sounds good.
Excellent. All right. So while you post, let's crank it out here. So this is from last last show, which is on the ones on Frida. If you want to post that the correct link, I will read this one and we'll get started. Okay, this is by Mile Verumer, and this is again on last week's show, which is and this is called Filaments of Self. It is on, if anyone's following along, it is on the painting number 16. You who made me, leaves of pain departing behind me. Is it the end? My shiny eyes are set to fire. With the last sparks of hurt, I walk my last steps. Who I am to be, lost in my pillow thoughts. Who I am to become, in those bloody hands, in this open spine. Read me, paint me, breathe me. Remake me, as I can't catch nor grab life again. You tie me into this umbilical cord with a filament of earthly thread, this organic wire, this forced connection. Keep the me who had gone awake into your memory. You, dear, who heard me as my roots sink deeper into the earth. I am made to be reborn again. End poem. Fantastic right there, Mile Verumer. I'm glad that we got to read that today. You know, and for the poems about Frida last time, a lot of people wrote about her accident. She was somebody who was horribly injured but was able to overcome that to become a great painter and a great, a great inspiration for people. And she was on our contest last time, and this is a fantastic tribute to that. I have a friend of mine, the guitar player in my band, who was riding his bike and got hit by a car, and of all things hurt his hands. Luckily, he's alive and he's okay. It could have certainly been much worse, but his hands are horribly maimed now. He will heal, you know, to be reborn again, and that is really, you know, the way you think about it, and the way that you have to look at life a lot of times, you know, however we're hurt, right, is just to be kind of, you know, go through whatever he's doing, be reborn again, and start over again. So I think this is fantastic. Bobby, I don't know if you're able to post that new link yet, if you want to comment.
And gun barrel, got a running gun battle going with it. Like I said, I'm not perking on all eight cylinders. I've had a low-grade headache all day. And it's impairing my functionality this evening. So,
tell you what,
if you
want to comment on this, I will find it. I will see if I can work on it right now.
Yeah, please do
team.
Because I'm not at 100% today. This is remarkable. You're right. It's she was injured very severely. I mean, I will not even talk about how she got impaled because it's pretty gruesome. But she was bedridden for 2 years. Her father, who was a painter, gave her and actually rigged for her an easel that she could sit in bed and read, or sit in bed and paint. And that was one of the comments she made, was she painted so many self-portraits because she was the person she knew best and she spent the most time with. But this is, I like, she says, read me, paint me, breathe me, remake me. Life again. She really did, I think she was going to go into medicine. And this is a classic example of life intruding when you're making other plans. But she adapted, and my gosh, look what she did with it. So a terrific piece. Mile Verumer, is that it? Okay, I hope I didn't.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, she is new to the show. I know that. So we are,
Welcome
we're glad that she, absolutely, we're glad she joined. Yeah, and Scott Sharp was going to try to join tonight, but he said he can't. He's got some stuff with family, which, of course, is the most important thing. So good luck to you, Scott. We'll read your poem tonight for you. Great comment, Bobby. I appreciate that. And I did put the correct link up, so we are ready to rock.
Oh,
we're here.
Thank you.
We are partners here.
Don't tell me the deep, dark secret of how to do that, because I don't seem to be doing it with any success. I keep hitting historical, you know, and Phil points it out, and she's absolutely right.
I'll tell you the deep, dark secret. Irish luck. I'm half Irish, so that Irish luck, sometimes every once in a while, I do things correctly. The other Italian half, I make good pasta. That's about it. let's crank on here. So I have another one from the last one. If you want to read that one, Bobby, this is called Dust and Ash by Go Lizzie, and I just pointed that one up. And the picture, for those looking along, the picture is on the poem.
And I can't remember the name of what she called that portrait, but that was part of I think her being at the court hospital. So we have Joe,
yes.
Lizzie, Us and Ash. Creeping walls slowly close in as invisible daggers pierce through flesh, pinning you down. Paralysis blanket smothers you, gasp for breath. Poison funnels you begin to choke, gagging on the vile venom invading your throat. Liquid crimson flows tar back, ink over mind, melting down the center core, light shatters into a black hole. Echoes of death ferment within. Upon a bed of doubt you lay, embers fade to dust and ash, as hope slips away like grains of sand. And
great read.
Wow.
It's, you know, a lot of people for this contest really, really struck with the injuries. And I don't know if it's because they had horrible injuries themselves or it's just something that, you know, it's part of all of us because we always worry about it. And I've certainly been injured, but I've never had, you know, horrible, you know, puncturing injuries or being shot or anything like that. So, you know, I'm lucky that way and hopefully never will have to experience that. But I can just imagine when your insides are leaking out, your body is just falling apart and just how the horror that, you know, that just must be. And I think this poem really captures that and captures, you know, the fragility, right, of the human body that we forget about sometimes. You know, sometimes we think we're immortal and we just kind of do things and don't worry about it. But, you know, that's like that Sting song, oh, just how fragile we are. This is very, very deep and dark and beautifully written.
We're no longer bulletproof when we get past the age of 19. So
exactly.
Before that, we all imagine we're bulletproof. So this is, I think because this is something that I think we can all identify with to one degree or another, either having gone through it or having known that we care about. Have been incapacitated like this. It is just so, you feel so helpless, and you basically surrendered control of your life to other people around you, and you know, you don't have the independence that many of us have on a daily basis and come to depend on. So I think that's what touched everyone, is they look at what she had experienced and how she had depicted it. And it does send a chilling a sense of dread through people to think, well, my God, what would I do if I were in that position? So,
great comment.
Well written, Glo Lizzie. Thank you so much. And let's zip right along here. I got my track shoes on.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a great comment. And you're right. It's anytime we see stuff like that, it reminds us, you know, how lucky we are that didn't have that happen to us. And I'm just going to do a quick 5 seconds, see if Pam is back yet. Pam, are you there at all? You didn't post on the chat, so I'm assuming not yet.
I am here, yes.
Oh, you are back. Excellent. Now I'm really happy.
Yes. Good to be. I'm glad to be here.
Very glad to have you here, Pam. So How are two? I have two questions for you. You get a two-part question. How are you? That's the main thing. And did you get to read or hear the poem by Glo Lizzie?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you I'm doing great. I just made the mistake of poorly timing a walk. My daughter invited me to go on a walk with her. We went on this long hour-and-a-half walk. I got here 3 minutes before showtime. I called in. I was sweating. I was breathing heavy. So I was like, well, I'll just get them brought on, and then I'll take my allergy medicine. I'll to have a long drink, cold drink of water and all that. And, you know, but I am feeling good. You know, got some fresh
Excellent.
Air, got out with my daughter. Life is good. So
beautiful,
and
beautiful.
Yeah, I had actually commented earlier on Glo Lizzie's poem. I always enjoy and appreciate her writing. The way she writes on the way she writes on darkness or the darkest side of life really resonates with me. And you know, it's interesting that I listening to you guys talk, I saw a different perspective of this poem. You know, when I had read it, I saw the whole idea of being in the grip of night terrors, you know, where somebody, like they're still asleep, but they sit up screaming. Like, that's what it felt like to me, and that's how it read to me. But then, you know, I did all of a sudden, as you guys were talking about it, seeing the idea of someone whose body is broken. So, you know, just a really powerful write all the way through, and very well done.
Great comment. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. And yes, I will come. First, I'm going to comment on what you said before. A really great walk with family. Get your blood going and get you happy every single time, right? So that's a great
absolutely.
But great comment. Yeah, I just discovered Glo Lizzie because of this show here. So I'm definitely a fan now. I thought she's a great poet. So awesome. Okay. Trial by fire. Here you are. You did the comment. Now you, Pamela, get to read the next one, which is called Frida's Quest by Earth Passion. If you can give that a read, that would be great.
Right. Absolutely, I'd be happy to. Frida's Quest by Earth Passion. The artist's soul knows agony and joy emerging from the depths of inner life. Great skill and will are seeking to employ her flights of fancy that with wings are rife. She gives herself completely to the task of living, loving, and with zest fulfills. Her need to serve creation never asks her fellow man to know the blood she spills. A thorough look at her own self she takes, exploring all the colors of her heart, yet compromise wins for her lover's sake, where agony and ecstasy depart. A brilliant bird trapped in a human cage, that begs release from agony and rage. And poem.
Great read. I love the rhyme to this, how it's kind of rhyming every other word, but then at the end it's got that nice little kind of two-line rhyme. I love when you play with rhymes like that. Bobby, what were your thoughts?
Well, this is a splendid sonnet. I've always admired people who can stay within the stricture of sonnets. Meter and the rhyming scheme, and are able to get their meaning across. And this is good storytelling in a very rigorous format. The artist's soul knows agony and joy emerging from the depths of inner life. Great skill and will are seeking to employ her flights of fantasy that with wings are rife. Beautiful first stanza. I mean, and it just goes on from there. And never asks her fellow man to know the blood she spills. This is a real, not only is it an homage to Frida Kahlo, but it is a really, I think, a very detailed look at how she overcame her physical shortcomings. We're able to turn those around and put them to her advantage. So, A terrific write, And thank you for one fashion.
I agree. And this was an honorable mention winner in the contest. So it was a great write. Pam, you got to read it. What were your thoughts?
Yes, a beautifully written sonnet. You know, I don't do form poems very often, but when I do, a sonnet is one that I like to tackle. Though I know there's things more technical layers to sonnets than just the syllable count and the line pattern, but I still like to try. But you know, I can definitely see why this one and the last one both were emeralds. And you know, to me, this was a beautiful tribute to the spirit of Frida, the way she had a fighting spirit, and the couplet at the end that describes her as a brilliant bird trapped in a human cage, I thought was spot on for somebody who has such a artistic spirit, somebody who has, but it is so much suffering in their own personal life. You know, I really also liked that second stanza where she gives herself completely to the task. You know, the idea of someone who just completely sacrifices themselves for their art. So beautifully written and very well done.
And you pointed out something, Pam, that slipped by me. There's great enjambment in that second stanza. She gives herself completely to the task of living, loving, and with zest fulfills her needs to serve creation, never asks her fellow man to know the blood she spills. Beautiful enjambment there, which is really tricky. So on many levels, this is a really superlative piece.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only one honorable mention on ours, but for If Er Abs got on his spectacular sonnets list. So this is definitely a popular one. Great comments, guys. And we are at like record speed here for our show, let me tell you. We're flying along. I'm going to give this one. Yeah, you know, we're all fired up tonight. We get that energy from Pam's walk. We're all just kind of cranking. I actually just came back from a walk too, believe it or not.
I'm certainly happy to share it.
I came back from a walk. I came on 5 minutes before from a walk as well too. So we're all fired up here. This next one I'm going to give a read. It's by Mark Loopy, and this was actually our bronze winner for the contest. It's called "To a Lover I Never Met." For prompt 25, those following along. Does it matter that I loved you? All the strange faces looking, circus animals piled nearby. Shadow in the bed, crib rocking, lights falling through the window, moon visible in the sky, the voices and the exclamations always forever are drifting by. I don't want to explain because it leaves a hole in the heart. I don't want it to end because my breath will hurt. Life has always been in some mystic town. When are you going to love me? Where should I lie down? End poem. Beautiful, beautiful, right. And I'm going to go to you, Pam.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was definitely a well-deserved bronze. I thought this was, it just had amazing imagery and metaphors. I like how the title itself becomes part of the poem, you know, and speaks volumes. I really like, I don't want to explain because it leaves a hole in the heart. I don't want it to end because my breath will hurt. This was extremely emotive in the idea of that inner turmoil that stems from the question, nagging question of what could have been, you know, what was the potential if only I had said what I wanted to say. And so excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely, Pam. Thank you very much. And Mark put this on his own recommended list, so he was obviously proud of it as well. He absolutely should be. So this is a great representation of his work. And Bobby, we gave it the bronze. Your thoughts?
One of the things that really carries a lot of weight and gravitas with me is the writer's interpretation of the prompt. And some folks see something in a depth that, like Pam says, is unforeseen. You look at something one way, and that's the wonderful thing about poetry is you get to see the universe in someone else's eyes. Like the prompt, somber piece. I really, really like, like Pam said, very emotive, very deeply emotional, almost melancholy. I don't want to explain because it leaves a hole in the heart. I don't want to end because my breath would hurt. In some mystic town where you are going to love me, where should I lie down? I love the ending on this. I mean, it's just so the angst in it is, and the love, affection-related angst is so well expressed and so palpable in this. A really superb piece of writing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much. All right, we are cranking around here. We got a couple more, and then we can get on to our contest at hand. So, Bobby, we're back to you already. This one was also an honorable mention by Cloud Raven called Broken, if you want to give it a shot.
Yeah, you betcha. Oh, yes. Yes, I remember because this particular piece of artwork, I knew it was going to stimulate something, and I was just pleased to see how it turned out. Broken. I am broken. The pain splits me in two. It comes in waves, sometimes a tsunami, unrelenting and cruel. I hold my breath and pray for relief. Sweat beads from every pore. I am in a puddle in my bed. I have no more tears. They put me back together, but at what cost to me? I look out the window. The world moves on. A relief comes for a little bit. I am broken. I will never be whole again. I was put back together. The waves of pain start again. Why did they fix me? Cost would be my end poem.
Yeah, great read. Very emotive. Thank you. And yeah, this is a really interesting picture. It's a picture of a very beautiful woman, and inside is this metal bar that's, you know, that I not only see, you know, artificiality, I see pain with that. So it's a really interesting interpretation. Pam, we will start with you.
Yeah, this, this one has a powerful impact to it. You know, it feels like the idea of how physical pain and physical suffering are connect with psychological pain and psychological suffering, meaning that, you know, the physical pain is definitely there, but it affects how the spirit feels. And I like the question at the end, why did they fix me if this cost would be this high? And it feels like the whole idea of someone who was fixed enough to live, but not fixed enough to live the life they had before. And it just really makes an impact, especially sweat beads from every pore. I am in a puddle in my bed. I have no more tears. They put me back together, but at what cost to me? It's more of a victory for science rather than a victory for the individual. So very well done.
Comment.
Great comment. Great insight on that. I'm going to give you, Bobby. I'm kind of holding some of my comments here and there just because we have a lot of poems to get to. Anybody who does want to call in that's listening in, I promise we will absolutely get to your comments. But I am trying to save a little time here, even though I'm wasting all this time right now telling you how much time I'm saving. But I just thought
catch
22. Yeah. You know, there you go. Exactly. I am, walking oxymoron. So, Bobby, you got to read it. What you think?
This is Pam makes a superb point, I find that having had serious surgery with joint replacement, that the pain, often It is physically draining, but it's also emotionally debilitating. And to have this severity, the portrait reminds me, and this is a very personal quote, when I was 13, I was diagnosed with scoliosis and had to wear a body brace for the next 3 years, which, believe it or not, looked very much from an interpretive point of view, like what she's portraying here. Big steel rod in front, two big ones in back, leather. I'm bound into this thing like an Iron Maiden, and summertime sweat pouring off of me, and the discomfort of it was one thing, but the emotional draining that it took on me, especially I was 13 years old. You know, you don't know who you are to begin with, and here you are put in this, something like that. So I really looked at this picture and I identified with it just from the emotionally just strenuous point of view. When this is just it's debilitating, and it's, you don't know when it's ever going to end. And she actually did have a brace that put on her. So God bless her.
Absolutely.
A great piece of writing from Cloud Raven.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you very much, Bobby. And as always, I want to say hi to my son, who I believe is listening in. Hey, Danny, thanks for listening as always. We spent some time together today, which is always fun. I love hanging out with my kid. And now he's writing music and listening to my show at the same time, as he's a multitasker. All right, the last one from the last time's contest. I'm going to give it over to Pam. Pam, if you don't mind reading, it's called The Brevity, called I Swallowed a Sword, by a brand new person to our show, Lady Winds.
Wonderful. All right. This is I Swallowed a Sword by Lady Wind, and it goes like this. A white leather brace worn instead of lace, a severed spine, six breaks, but all mine. Suffering pain can be quiet and cruel. I swallowed a sword, wear nails as jewels. This metal column holds me close to merge as bone to bone does. Do not despair or say, poor, poor Frida, for my backbone is now steel. Viva la vida. End poem.
Great read. Thank you. And just for time's sake, so we can get on with the new one, I'm going to let you, Bobby, have a comment and then take us to the new show. But I thought this was a fantastic brevity and really hit it correctly. I mean, I Swallow the Sword is just a really inventive title, I thought, where that must have felt like that almost with all the metal that's in her now. So it was really interesting. So, Bobby, if you want to comment and then introduce the new one.
I thought that was a wonderfully creative interpretation. That's what I'm speaking of when I interpret different interpretations of the prompt. She looked at that, and that's what she saw. That's what she wrote to. I love it. I love that the freedom of expression on that, and the imagination that went into I Swallowed a Sword, because my goodness, what a way to interpret that particular portrait. I think extremely well done on that one. So okay, and moving right along, our contest that we're featuring this evening. And with only 30 minutes into our show, that's not bad. It's Abandoned Properties and Places, photographs by Roman Robrek, who is a Dutch photographer. What he features in the photographs is referred to in the lexicon as urban exploring. It's gone on for years. But it's just because with the advent of social media, people are discovering that there are other people out there. Because I did it as a kid with my dad. We would explore farmhouses and abandoned farm buildings and what have you. And but these are people who really get into it very deeply. And there's a very simple credo that goes with this: is you take nothing but pictures, you leave nothing but footprints. And so, and I've always been fascinated by, you can't help but wonder when you see something abandoned, what kind of life it led before the living souls evacuated, you know, and I always have imagined residual energies and things of that nature. And abandoned buildings, any kind of structures, or even abandoned cars, your mind can just have a wonderful field day. You can have a flight of fantasy go in any direction on this. So I thought, what a great thing to put out there for our writers. And I found a wonderful artist. And so here let's dive right in to the photographs of abandoned places by Roman Robrecht and the entries.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought this was a fantastic idea, yours, Bobby. Great little break from paintings, but it's still absolutely 100% art. In fact, just the way he takes the pictures, I could see him almost as like a watercolor painting. So they're very beautiful. We're going to jump into this. Go ahead.
Faces of another fashion.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a great idea. So we're going to jump in. I'm going to read the first one by Omega OM. And the picture that they wrote to is right on the poem. It's called The Mandarin Room. Oh, excuse me. Slightness of breath lingered. Immortalities reverberated without. Civilization once aligned in the halls of times, mosaic shadows playing harp on the etched walls, brushstrokes engulfing one's meager existence, strumming dried emptiness filling the spaces of existence, carpeted verdant moss, cavalier in its own parade, narcissus gaiety echoing a silence, cashmere dampness groaning in yesteryear's footsteps, light attempting to harvest the days, cathedral requiem slumber of ferocity, splintered primal curiosity without dignity, hallowed winds seeking congruent symmetry, dusty cavern rectangular spaces, uneven edges of sun-stained room, seeping gashes articulating the story, shivering uneven curved uneasiness, wondering evacuation of life now perishing, shadowlands keep falling, ocean of tears in daylight unseen, noiseless vacancy of dreams. End poem. Really, really great word use on here, and an amazing imagery, I think. Pam, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, I have to agree. This really did have a wonderful imagery to it. I like how they chose to use the word mandarin, you know, an orange, focusing in on the small bit of orange that is hanging in the doorway. I like to see if people focus in on small details of a picture or the picture as a whole. I really thought this had a haunting feel to it and a feeling of trying to keep hold of bygone days, whether they're personal ones or ones where you felt the history of mankind was at a better place. I especially liked hallowed winds seeking congruent symmetry, dusty cavern rectangle spaces, uneven edges of sun-stained room. That really captures the atmosphere of the picture, and it's very well done.
Yeah, I agree. I got both a creepiness from this, but also a beauty and a history of it at the same time. So I thought Omega, it was able to get all those different feelings kind of in one, you know, in this one poem and really describe the picture beautifully. So great comment. Thank you. Bobby, what's happening?
I was drawn to the same passage that Pam cited. So I will repeat. Basically, I also felt an otherworldliness to this, which I you feel with some photographs more than others, and this one with the encroachment of nature into this and just the tattered bits of curtain, the suggestion of what was there, really leaves a very work and almost the rest of affection and emotion is just a totally drained of any energy. So I would really like the metaphors that were used in this.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great poem. Great way to start. I am excited for this contest. So let's get going. And you are next, Bobby, by somebody new to the show and one of my new favorite names of somebody, Fat Maestro. And this is called Envy in the Power.
Yes, yes.
I'm a Fat Maestro fan just by the name.
Well, I like the creativity of the nom de plume.
Yes.
And I believe actually a woman writing. Interesting that we have, we're so prevalent that we're nowadays, we're just kind of ignoring obvious gender biases. So I think that's great. So here
yes.
we go, Envy in the Parlor. Tired shelves vomit forgotten books onto an old, worn-out parlor floor. Sick of carrying their hefty weight, far too many loyal, thankless years. Idly watching all the lavish attention their hard-bound friends did receive, the laughs, the tears, the intrigue as they told their stories to the world, cradled in the olive-colored chair, sunlight illuminating their words, its gentle warmth giving them life to tell their tales time and time again. Inked pages passing along knowledge to society's curious mind, impacting those lives they intersect, golden wisdom left behind in the wake. Wooden slats aglow, bright green as the shelves, inaudibly pray for the moon and the stars to bring them back a book in the next life. End poem.
Excellent read. You know, and I think this is kind of the genius of the pictures, where it says, where I lost it already here. So cradled in the olive-covered chair, sunlight illuminating their words, its gentle warmth giving them life to tell their tales again. So, you know, it's all the books are on here, but you can, for those who aren't, if anybody's listening, you're not seeing the picture, it's abandoned library with a bookshelf, and the books are kind of all over the place, but there's also a very comfortable chair and a window right there, and the sun is lighting it, and you can just see somebody sitting there reading by the sunlight. It's perfectly for that, and so you can just kind of almost just picture that the whole time. It's almost more than the books. The books are kind of the focal point, but it's that chair that really gives life to the picture, and I just thought that stanza was beautiful. Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked this. It had a nice flow to it. Even though it's a free verse poem, there was a certain set, it seems almost like there was a set meter. I was looking at Fat Maestro's page, and she must have really liked that picture because I noticed she used it as the background picture of her page. So I thought that was pretty cool. I being someone who really enjoys reading, I can totally connect to this picture. Like, if I ever had a home or something that was abandoned, it would probably be filled with books like this. But probably not then again, because I would probably make sure to pack all the books. But, this right, it really speaks to me on the idea of it's both literal and metaphorical. It's the idea of the books that are forgotten, long forgotten, but also the idea of people that are long forgotten and how everybody has an important message inside of them. It's that some people, you know, we don't always think to take time to talk to them, to ask them what they have going on inside. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Pam. Great, great insight. And yeah, I too, I like to read and got, would have associated with this picture too. Bobby, what's happening?
Easily confused. We look so much alike.
Yeah.
Well, we're both, that's because we're both sexy women from the Midwest. Everybody gets a confused.
True, right, too, and I have no idea what anybody looks like, so I have no way to comment that, but we're all both beautiful, and yes, from the sexy women from the Midwest, absolutely.
I like the fact that she's personified. She's personified the books. She's personified the shelves. The environment has taken on a personality. Idly watching all the lavish attention their hardbound friends did receive. As they told their stories to the world, cradled in the olive-colored chair, sunlight illuminating their words. The essence of books is what they can share with others, the knowledge, the stories, the being able to convey people to other planets, other places, just to transport someone, even though they're sitting in one spot. And I captured that so beautifully, and here also the fact that these books, which were so important and so transformative, are now unfortunately abandoned. And I like the last, for the moon and the twinkling stars to bring them back a book in the next life. So it's, again, she's personified the bookshelf, adding another book, which I think is brilliant.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to welcome Robbie's Poetry in the chat, who said she is also a sexy woman from the Midwest, so we have a little club here. I am definitely the outcast here from the East Coast, and the man of the, you know, representing men poem poets everywhere. But welcome, Robbie. Enjoy your dinner. And this is going to be perfect. Then we have a treat here because we have a really cool SoundCloud from Scott Sharp, and I listened to it before. It's got some awesome music. So, Pam, if you can play that for us, I'm going to post it in the chat here.
All right. You ready?
Ready.
Say it on us.
If the band should play a love song, let the tune be soft and blue. All things romantic drive me frantic, 'cause l'amour to me means you. Anything to do with moonlight makes me dream of nights with you. Anything to do with starlight, and my head goes reeling through the blue. Oh, my dear, I've made my mind up. You and I will wind up sharing fun and laughter, sweethearts ever after. Anything to do with stardust must begin and end with you.
Una Mae Carlisle. The distant memory of falsetto notes fall down the stairs towards the baritone abandoned crisscross checkerboard floor. Una Mae, I keep looking for you, dancing on the keys of the treble bridge. Catch each note before they land in my throat. Memories dance in and out of the shadows of dust between the keys. A time when everything was right, when you sang anything, but you were really singing about me. A cast iron railing kept hopes from falling as all the boys lined the stair where love ran up and down, scales playing like the memory of you sitting on the piano bench, doing what you do.
Makes me dream of nights with you. Anything to do with starlight, and my head goes reeling through the blue. Oh, my dear, I've made my mind up. You and I will wind up sharing fun and laughter, sweethearts ever after. Anything. begin and end with you.
Thank you, Scott. Absolutely amazing. So first of all, I love like World War II type music. But, I mean, how inventive is this? You know, you guys are more experienced with poetry than I, but I haven't seen anything like this before where he's actually answering the music. So what he wrote for footnotes is anything, a hit written by and performed by Una May Carlisle, 1922 to 1956. This poem is intended to be a posthumous duet where the speaker is answering Uma May's words of her song. And he wrote this to prompt 20 in our contest. So how much does he have going on? I mean, I'm going to let you guys comment on the actual poem, but I mean, how much does he have going on here where he's doing this duet with somebody back from the 20s, but still being able to relay it to the contest that we have for the prompts. I mean, this is just so inventive and so amazing, Scott. Hats off to you, my friend. If there is a extra credit award for anything, you get it. And the picture itself too is so cool because it's a piano. So it's this old time. You know, you can see the World War II era in this kind of almost mansion that the picture is in with this really dusty old piano. So a lot of fun. Thank you, Scott. I know you're with your family tonight. I hope you're enjoying them, and thanks for the great SoundCloud. Pamela.
Yes, I really enjoyed this. What a performance. It's kind of like when, remember like years and years ago, Nat King Cole's daughter did a duet with him?
Yes,
it reminded me of that, but done with poetry, and I really like how he has the singing of the song and then him reading the poem is the answer to the song lyrics. So it comes across as a duet. It kind of comes across as a meshing of the present and the past. And I really love that style all the way through. Great use of bringing in the imagery, the crisscross, the checkerboard floor. I really liked I Keep Looking for You dancing on the keys of the treble bridge. Wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. And for some reason I'm thinking of a quote by James Cameron, the filmmaker, on when he first saw Star Wars. He said, "Damn you, George Lucas, why didn't I think of that?" And that's what I think about with this. Like, it's such a great idea. It's like, you know, why did I think of doing something like this? It was such a great idea. I mean, again, you guys are more experienced than me. You might have seen this before, but I thought it was beautiful and awesome job, Scott. And Bobby.
I have to admit, this is unique. The SoundCloud is superb. The way he has blended Udeme's performance with his own recitation was absolutely flawless. He also, as Pam said, he opens with a fall down and then crisscross checkerboard floor, which appears in the photograph right next to this grand piano. There was about four different photographs that had pianos in them, and that was deliberate because they were all different styles. And I looked at this and I had to wonder. You know, sometimes when I post some of these things, I look at them and I wonder if anyone's going to tackle something and what they're going to come up with. And I've got to say that in terms of interpretation of the prompt, this gets high marks. This is absolutely bloody brilliant. Great writing, great performance piece, the way he's blended other elements in it. This is just an absolutely stellar piece of writing and imagining and performing. And I'm running out of imperative. Well, I think I'll stop now. No, really. really, really like this. Scott, well done, sir. Extremely well done.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. Always a pleasure, Scott, but great one tonight. All right, cool.
Seriously, this time he surpassed himself.
He did. He outdid himself this time. From all your great inspiration there with your great contest there, Bobby. So awesome job. All right, so another one of my new favorites is EJ Cool, called Abandoned, and I'm going to have Pam give this a read. If anybody's looking at the picture, though, the picture is posted on her poem, and she asked the question, if anyone out there can identify the sofa in the picture, I'd be most grateful. She is trying to figure that out. She must have liked this picture a lot. So just anybody out there thinking about that, if you want to chime in. Otherwise, Pam, if you can give it a read, that would be great.
I would be happy to, actually. A curved vintage Chesterfield in sunless yarrow yellow defies time's ravages on sparse patches of moss carpet. Mildew and algae paint the walls and ceiling neon green. Even the sagging window treatment have been stained by envy. Shearing golden damask fleece revealed clean paint underneath. Red velvet drapes flood the space like waterfalls of old blood. A spotless vase filled by dried and withered still life flowers centers itself among the collapsed and the forgotten. A hoarse dawn wagon, helpless to escape oblivion, points the way out, cracked fenestra behind molding curtains, a source of light that breathes life into stale antiquity, where lost memories fade and those yet may yet remain. End poem.
Yeah, great read, Pam. Thank you. And really great description. That's one of the things I like about EJ is she's very descriptive, and I like how she. One of the focuses was that a little kind of knick-knack decoration of a horse-drawn carriage that is kind of pointing to the door. I thought was interesting. Bobby, what do you think?
I remember EJ when I first commented on her when she was a new user, and was taken even then by her level of attention to detail in her writing. And her command of language and vocabulary. And I, again, here's attention to detail. As you mentioned, the tiny ornament, the horse-drawn carriage tucked away in the corner, she's drawn our attention to by her writing. And this is really a brevity that she's done here. But she's taken us by the hand and taken us for a walk through this room. Describing in beautiful detail. I especially like red velvet drapes flood the space like waterfalls of old blood, and a spotless vase filled with dried and withered still life flowers centers itself in the collapse and the forgotten. That passage right there, just an exquisite word painting, and you look at it and you go, yes, by golly, there is that vase right there with the old flowers, and there's the carriage, and she's picked details out of this and just highlighted them to us, along with the mildew and algae paint the walls and ceiling neon green and the patches of moss carpet. Beautifully descriptive, wonderful attention to detail, a great command of language, and very economical right. I mean, like I said, it's a brevity. It's really extremely well done. So well done, EJ, and thank you for your entry. Really appreciate it. Love seeing her work in here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, you got to read it.
Yes, that was wonderful imagery. I really liked how she captured the atmosphere of the picture, and especially like the stanza that the red velvet drapes flood the space like waterfalls of old blood. And then at the end where it says, where lost memories fade and those yet made may yet remain. The idea of that, the hanging on to the past and yet at the same time looking forward to the future. So very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. All right. I want to put one up here, and I'm going to give it a read. And this one is by Paul Brott, who, not to rhyme, but I almost forgot because he was the one that I missed, and Bobby did it. And thank you very much, Bobby. I would have been very sad if I had not had Paul's on the list here. So thank you for seeing that because I read this one earlier, and I really enjoyed it. So this is on the same one that Scott did with the Steinway. And again, I'm going to give it a read. It's called The Steinway Decays. I'm just an old Steinway rotting here in the hallway. My wood is decaying, embarrassed, displaying what once was a much finer day. Keys touched by talented hands, played Mozart, Bach, and Telemann, pastorals, requiems, virtuosos, minuets, and postmodern maestros. War arrived, soon tunes forgotten. Now I sit here slowly rotting. Perhaps someday I'll play again. A soundless Steinway is such a sin. End poem. Yeah, and I thought this was so beautiful and musical too. I thought the feel of it was song and musical and lyrical, which is great for a tribute to a Steinway piano. So excellent, excellent. Pam, what do you think?
Yeah. I thought this was a beautiful tribute to, as you said, the piano itself, but also to music, to the history of music, and also I like how it speaks on the shame that the piano is no longer being played. There's a sadness in the end line to how the sin of the silence there. I particularly like all the different musical references he packed into one short stanza, and in that second stanza. So very well done.
Absolutely. And Bobby.
Complex rhyming going on here. I mean, to be able to, he's touched by talented hands, played Mozart, Bach, and Telemann. Pastorals, requiems, virtuosos, minuets by postmodern maestros. He's got some assonance going here, great musical references. Telemann, one of my favorites. It's, again, another brevity that's got a lot going on in it. It's a very packed. And he's personified. I'm just an old Steinway rotting here in a hallway. My wood is decaying, embarrassed, displaying what was once a much finer day. Great opening. Great opening. And it closes with, now I sit here slowly rotting. Perhaps someday I'll play again. A soundless Steinway is such a sin. It is the piano's lament, and it's beautifully done. I really enjoyed this. Very imaginative. Great take on the prompt.
Absolutely. Great word choices, and you're right, the rhyming was very cool. So excellent job. And all right, Bobby, you are up, and you are a lucky girl because you get to read a poem by Afasiana. This is called a rope wreck.
I get so lucky. Some days
yes.
You just live right.
That's right.
All righty. Obrick reveals. And she's got a couple of photographs here, so she's done a couple of prompts. A trident in the foyer, where direction matters not. Right and left are both right, both left abandoned. Debris and dust decorate. Stone once polished, arachnids inhabit cornerless curves. Glass once stained meticulously to share art's shine now carries unintended shades of weather's paint. Outside crept in, inside released into the wild. Missing panes reveal time's game of tic-tac-toe. Unoccupied structures submit to the land, nature longer kneeling. End poem.
Nice read, Bobby. Thank you. And I'm definitely a fan of Faziana. I admit I listen to her and Babble's show when I wake up on Saturday mornings. One of my favorites, and I harass them all the time in their contests with my poems because they're always inspiring, and I just absolutely love their comments. I could listen to them all day. It's almost like a talk show to me. And her poems don't disappoint either. Just even the way she, for anybody following along or watching, just the way she composed this with the pictures, like you said, she's doing prompt 26 and prompt 14, and she has both pictures in the prompt with the poems kind of in between. So it's almost like a little story coming from her that's a librarian. I can see that. She almost made this like a picture book. I can almost see it like a children's book, the way she composed this. So I thought it was just beautiful, and her descriptions are great. So awesome job, Faziana. Thank you for sending that in. Pam, what are your thoughts?
I really like what you had to say there, Dan, about how it's like a picture book because she puts her writing between the pictures. I really felt like she had captivating imagery in this. I like how it shows the passing of time. And I was particularly drawn to the end line, the unoccupied structure submit to the land, nature no longer kneeling. And what it shows us is that while we may think we're the almighty, the all-powerful force, humans themselves, you know, we are but a small portion of time. The true strength, the true endurance comes from nature. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment on that. And Faziana's a very intelligent person, so I'm sure that she designed this on purpose, which I was definitely impressed with. And Bobby?
I like the wordplay she's included in here. From the beginning, trident in the foyer, direction matters not. Right and left are both right, both left abandoned. Great wordplay there. Debris and dust decorate, stone once polished, arachnids inhabit cornerless curves. There's a little, a little juxtaposition there of terminology, and glass. And here she points out how the outside and the inside have exchanged places. Glass once meticulously stained to share art shine. Carries unattended shades of weather's paint, and outside crept in, inside released into the wild. So you've got the barriers that humans erect to keep the outside out and the inside in have been compromised and corrupted, and unoccupied structures submit to the land, nature no longer kneeling. And get the picture from what she said of nature not really kneeling, just sitting and waiting, because the waiting game is what nature does best. And once something is left to nature's devices, it very stealthily reclaims what it has lost. And she says that so beautifully. So thank you, Faziana, for a great piece.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bobby. All right, and we have another great treat for us because another one of my favorite poets, Casey Day, has given us a SoundCloud. So if you wouldn't mind playing that, Bobby, that would be great.
No, that's Pam's job. She does
Pam,
better than
yeah. Pam, yeah, right. No, the wine is starting to take its effect now, so it's, yeah. You know.
Well, just let me know when you have it posted.
I just posted it. I think we should be good. So, yeah, if you want to play it.
Bayside Church. I read your diary aloud, thought you might come and let me hear it out. But that beat-up masterpiece still sits down by the bay, and since then, you haven't been back this way. Tell me in heaven, do their dresses kiss the grass, or do they fly above it all, above our memories and past? Can they take a dream and turn it into something that might last? Do they listen to pianos or violins? Do they dance in heaven, darling? Do we stand a chance? Or am I stuck here forever this way, staring out into the night? You took it all away when you left your daddy's car, sitting by the bay.
Awesome read. I've heard her SoundClouds before, and I actually think that's one of her best ones. It seemed like a conversation. You could hear the thought process in it. I really thought this was a great performance by Casey, absolutely, and really interesting take. It almost sounds personal. I believe she's from out somewhere, not really the Midwest, but even more towards California. I can't remember where she's from, out in the kind of a not where there's not a lot of people. I think she's kind of out there, so I can almost see her, you know, thinking about this, like thinking about. I don't know exactly where she's from, but I think she's from somewhere out there, and I could see her almost kind of thinking about this and this being a personal thing. But again, the thought process of this, of somebody just kind of thinking this in the personable way that she said this and wrote this, you know, as all these questions she's asking herself, I thought was really interesting and beautiful and very, very personal. So awesome job, Casey. I enjoyed it. One of your better performances. And Pam.
Yeah, you know, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. It was a stunning read. Had a wonderful lyrical quality to it, to almost like you could picture it being a song. I like how it's about missing somebody and of having this conversation with somebody that probably you lost all too soon. And it touches on the personal idea of loss and heartbreak, but it also touches on a theological thoughts of, you know, what is heaven like, you know, with all the questions being asked, you know. And I think the most important question that is kind of asked, but not literally there, but you still feel it, especially in the end lines, is, you know, is there a heaven? And, you know, is there an afterlife, or is this all I have to look forward to? So just a really thoughtful and beautiful write and very well done.
Awesome. Very insightful comment, Pam. Thank you. You know, one of the reasons I like Casey is even when she's writing dark pieces or sadder pieces, there's always some sort of happiness or passion there. She seems to have this kind of passion for life. And even with this, even though this is about missing people, I can still feel a peace in her writing, in her reading. So she always has that, which is why I enjoy it, because it always makes me happy and leaves me with a peaceful feeling. So great comment. And Bobby.
I really enjoyed this piece, and I think it's very layered, because the way I'm reading what's written here closes. The first and last stanza are references to the prompt. I really am impressed with this abandoned vehicle and turn this completely sideways and turned it into something that I think is quite remarkably imaginative. But I like this. I'd come and let me hear it all out, but that beat up masterpiece still sits down by the bay. Haven't been back up here forever this way, staring out into the night. You took it all away when you left your daddy's car. And it comes full circle back to the vehicle and the questions that the vehicle's prompt, a vehicle prompts. And then she talks about, to tell me, and, you know, and she asks all these questions like, you know, are they happy? That's basically, she said, are they happy? Are they enjoying themselves? Do they, you know, is there happiness? Is there joy there? Because, and then she brings it back down to earth, and it's a sense that the writer feels abandoned like the vehicle. And that's the impression I get from the vehicle is abandoned, and so is she.
Wow, great comment. I didn't even think of it that way, but that's great insight on there. Okay, cool. So let's actually do our... Oh,
hello.
Somebody's at the door. I think we should answer it.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Pam. Hi, Daniel. Hi, Miss Bobby.
Hey.
Sorry, I'm late. I don't know where the time went today. It just like, I don't know. I'm so sorry, but I was at my moon. Yeah.
Oh, no problem. Everybody seems to be day to visit their families, I think.
Yeah.
But like a wizard, you...
My mom's 85,
exactly.
So... Were you reading Casey Day's poem?
We were.
I'm behind. May I make a comment?
Of course. Please do.
You know, this reminds me of our youth and our college days when we used to get in the car and drive and listen to music and park at the bay, park at a park, park at the mountains. To me, this was very nostalgic, and it brought me all the way back, you know, when you look at that car, because what it does is it triggers our memories. And this is exactly what Casey did. She triggered those nostalgic memories of a simpler life and, you know, the things, you know, where you would go park and get a Coke and talk and just sit there and listen to music, whether it was rock or it was classical or it was piano or violins. You know, sometimes you would get out and dance to the music. This was fabulous. You know, this was fabulous when you would take your parents' car and, you know, or your rundown car that you could afford at that time. And that's what it reminds me of. This was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorites of hers. And everybody can relate to abandoned cars because, you know, abandoned buildings might more be rural, but there's abandoned cars everywhere. You know, so we all, you know, no matter where you live, there's always abandoned cars. So great comment. Thank you very much. I'm so glad you're here. All right.
Happy
let's
to be here.
Continue on. Absolutely. Let's continue on, and we actually have our last SoundCloud of the night. We're going to continue with that. If you want to, I'm going to post that now, Pam. This is by Lemon Narrations called Ghost of Sound.
Not hearing anything. Are we having technical difficulties?
I can hear somebody way in the background.
I thought it was my ears.
You know what?
But I can't hear anything.
I think it was on. It's playing music, but there's no speaking. So I think the technical problem was on the person who made the audio.
Here.
Because you can hear music, like they had the background music, but forgot to put on the speaking track.
Yeah, the music was way in the background.
Yeah, and it's 1 minute and 9 seconds, and we were 55 seconds in. So, yeah, we were definitely not getting on the poem.
That's okay. I'll give her poem a quick read then, just so we can get that there. And it's... I know where she was going with this. If you look at the picture she was trying to do, it's another piano, but it is very ghost-like. It's prompt number 30, those following along, and it's really interesting. It does give a little bit of an eerie sound for whatever reason. I can't tell why. I'll give this a quick read, though, since we couldn't hear the audio, the words. Ghost of Sound. Ghost of Sound lies trapped in the halls here, stoically bouncing off the walls from the roof to the cold tile ground in this empty recital hall. When I sing in the open spaces, Ghost of Sound travels into my ear. Slightly delayed, the ghost sings with me and helps to calm my fear. Ghost of Sound is the last one to sing here, with a voice that overshadows my own. Like a mirror, I hear the reflection, and I realize I'm all alone. End poem. And I know where she was going with this, he or she, I apologize, I'm not sure who this is, but if where the, you know, the background music that she had that I could barely hear really had kind of this kind of ghostly, you know, image. And again, if you're looking at the picture, it's a little bit eerie, so I can see where she got that from. But let's start with Pam on the comments.
You know, I have to agree with you. In fact, I'm looking forward to hearing some of Lemon Narration's audios, because I thought the whole idea of going with the creepy background music with this poem was a great one. I have to agree with you on that. I like the ghost of sound. It's like that whole idea of hearing the voice of someone that you know is no longer around, and yet it's so there, as if they're just standing right there next to you. I really like that second stanza. When I sing in the open spaces, ghost of sound travel into my ear, slightly delayed, the ghost sings with me and helps to calm all fear. It really speaks to me also on the whole idea of how beautifully soothing music can be in calming us, you know. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pam. And Lou.
You did a fantastic job in reading this poem, Daniel. What I loved about this poem was when I looked at the photograph, it reminded me of a recital hall or somebody's ballroom in their home, because there's huge, large painting above it. So it could have been a ballroom. And, you know, where you when you walk into these places, I don't know. I hear voices. I hear music when I go into places like this. You know, to me, these are treasure. I would call it my treasure hunting. You know, when you go into these huge rooms that were once where you could see people. I can see people dancing. I can see somebody playing at the piano and somebody on the side singing some classical chorus music like Pam was talking about. And, you know, there's something that just comes over you, this calmness. I agree with that, because it travels with you. There's nobody in there. You're all alone. But in some ways, you don't feel alone because of all those ghostly figures that inhabited it. This was wonderfully penned also.
Awesome. Thanks, Lou. And Bobby?
This is one of the pictures of a piano. And this is an upright. And it's so small as opposed to the Steinway, which took up so much room. This upright is right in the middle of this space, and it seems almost lonely, isolated, and what magnifies the smallness of it is, as Lou said, the huge piece of artwork hanging above it, I really enjoyed this piece because it calls to me of when I've been in doing urban exploration, I get the same sense, mm-hmm. and I think you're in a place that was once alive with people,
yes.
and with sea and with sound, mm-hmm. and with people's lives, and it's almost like a capacitor in that some of the energy goes into the structure and is trapped there. And the ghost of sound travels into my ear, slightly delayed. Ghost of Sound is the last one to sing here with a voice that overshadows my own. Like a mirror, I hear the reflection and realize I'm all alone. The beautiful ending on this, again, it's a brevity. We've seen a lot of brevities this evening, and all of them extremely well done. But I think the writer here really captures the essence of this trapped energy in the walls, in the piano, in the environment that just is just waiting, and it just kind of it leaks out a little less. Well, beautifully done, Lemon Narrations. Thank you for a great piece.
Absolutely, yeah, awesome comments. And yeah, but really interesting descriptions tonight, which I would expect with all of the great photographs. So, Lou, I got one up for you to read by Robert J. Tice called How Much We Lose. It's for prompt 4, really interesting picture. I'm not sure how to describe it. It almost looks like a church. It actually reminds me of like a fantasy video game, like one of the Legend of Zelda games. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. It really does. And in an artistic way, I mean that in nothing but complimentary way. So yeah, if you want to give us a read, that'd be great, Lou.
Okay. How Much We Lose by Robert J. Tess. Old summer house, once lush with love, now seems to wait for other guests. My gravity, an August storm, or wrecking balls to clear it all. Yet something in this stillness haunts, insists beneath the bloodless dust. The note's a deathless memory, no demolition may erase. Fatigued from steady negligence, the home groans like a lowly ghost. I wonder what it's muttering through the smashed glass, mold, and rust. Perhaps the spirit's history, a phantom of forsaken days, that rattles us to recollect what otherwise we might forget. While termites dine or dozers roll and new constructions rush too near, if we don't see how much we lose when old things wholly disappear. End poem.
Awesome read as always, Lou. And you know, it really is true. I'm glad that he brought that up. And it's just what you ladies were talking about, which is, you know, the history and the passion and all the sounds and everything that was there before. You know, and it's not just the building that leaves when we destroy old things, right? It is a history. It is a memories that are there. So awesome, awesome read. Pam, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think this is just amazing. I do love how it speaks on the loss of history and how, you know, we don't have that kind of respect for history, that kind of respect for things of the past or for antiquity itself. You know, I think too oftentimes things that should be considered priceless treasures, you know, and not necessarily for money value, but just the fact that they tell a story are, you know, tossed aside. I really like how the fatigue from steady negligence, the home groans like a lowly ghost. That is wonderful personification and a great way to describe the weight of being this old house that's been long forgotten. So beautifully written and very well done.
Excellent, thank you. And Lou, you got to read it.
Can you hear me?
We can. We can hear you. Well, we could hear you before. I don't know if we can now. You're silent now, unless I've dropped off. Can anybody hear me?
Can you hear me?
No, she's still on.
Okay.
Hello?
There you go. We can hear
you. Hello?
Okay.
There you are.
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah, I'm muted because I'm coughing, and I don't want to cough over people's comments. So I'm not used to my mute button. What I loved about Robert's poem is when I was reading it, I went and looked at the picture. It is so beautiful. It reminds me of the old things and how they're really not respected, you know, especially with this generation, you know, that's old. You know, I don't, what do I want? I throw it out, you know. But with us, we, you know, I acted like this is a room. For me, it was like I walk in each photograph that Captain put up, Bobby put up, and I felt like when I walked in here, I walked in that room with that picture. It, even though it's falling apart, it's amazing how if we were in that room with our grandparents or family, a summer house where we spent the summer, we walk in there and we rebuild everything. It may be destroyed. It may be falling apart, like he said here with dust and mites. But he says there's something in this stillness haunt beneath the bloodless dust. You know, and these memories, you know, we can rebuild and we can hear our family, we can see ourselves as a child, the furniture, and we can rebuild everything that's falling apart, you know, to see the stained glass and to see the I don't know what it's called, but when you put print on the wall, it's a certain print that you use as edging to make the room feel taller. And it's gorgeous, you know, because, you know, these are old craftsmen that did this. And sometimes our parents were the craftsmen. And I love this poem because he says, perhaps this spirit's history, a phantom of forsaken days that rattles us to recollect what otherwise we forget. And, you know, you walk in there, and in our mind's eye, everything goes back to what it once was and its perfection.
Yeah, no, I agree. A lot of interesting comments there. And, you know, I think I pay much more attention to older things and now. And I think back, you know, in the 70s, like when I was a kid, like, what did I miss out? What was I just looking at and didn't care about, you know? And so interesting thoughts. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you.
And Bobby.
I have to say, I was thinking while I was listening to the comments how I'm absolutely delighted at the response from the writers that we got on these photographs. I mean, it really seemed to stimulate a lot of wonderful thought and imagination, and people went in all different directions, which I just – and that's really is the whole point of the crisis program is to see – what one art form can do for another, and what people took off with this and just ran with it. So I have to say thank you. In the judging notes, I'm going to have to say thank you over and over again to everyone for just wonderful pieces. And this one, again, it does. It echoes, and the title, How Much We Lose, it reminds, mm-hmm. reminds us that it's like something in the stillness haunts, insists beneath the bloodless dust, denotes a deathless memory no demolition may erase. That passage right there, that stanza, just speaks volumes. I mean, you can knock down a house. I mean, how many of us mm-hmm. have seen remnants of a home out in the woods where basically the only thing that's standing is the fireplace? Because it was stone, and everything else has crumbled around it, either burned or just consumed by nature. And I still find myself looking at that fireplace and thinking about the hands that built it,
mm-hmm.
how stone by stone this was assembled with loving care. And probably it has outlasted its maker, and perhaps this history, a phantom of forsaken days. And you know, it's I hate to lump people into the same, but how many times have we seen people that have just basically been abandoned because they're old, and that they have their stories and no one wants to hear them.
Yep.
And the houses. structures have the same way, and I feel the same way about the structures and the people. They all have their stories, except the people can tell you their stories and the structures can't.
Yeah, I always say that our culture in the United States is a little bit backwards, where you know, where the kids seem to kind of, think they know everything and run the world, and then they, you know, the adults, we do run the world, but we don't listen to. Is as soon as you get to be like 60 years old, you kind of cast aside. You know, I always thought we should mirror the Native American culture, which ironically we destroyed, right? Mm-hmm. When we came here, where,
yeah,
you know, the children learn, the adults will do, but then it's the elders that everybody looks for advice, because that's the why. You know, when, as you get older, you get to be more respected, more wise, more looked at, and a lot of times we don't do that, like you said. So it is interesting comment. We could talk about that for hours, but
you're right. And I lived in Okinawa for a year, and that is also a very Asian custom, is to revere the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Because
because
they've been around a long time, and they've seen so much. And, yeah, you're right. It is a little bass-ackwards around here.
Yeah, it definitely is. All right, let's crank on here because we do got a bunch more poems to read. And, Bobby, this is for you. This is called Red Living Room by Jasana Sajan. Prompt number 5.
Okey-dokey, Red Living Room. Woo-hoo! Red, crimson colors of my bar stool chairs. Few days of get-togethers of the Winston heirs. Sensation of friends and frivolous flots. Din and party drinks. Vodka, beer, cocktail locks. Decked in platinum garlands of diamonds, topaz, emerald. Dazzled in white, purple colors of the aristocrat herald. Women and men locked arms and dance ambiance. Time so memorable, an hour, two, three, enhance. Watching those memorable moments passing in a trance, seen the same, enjoyed in many in London and France. Party dresses, tresses, trim, tight in heavy wardrobes, singing eerie words of melodies in my petite earlobes. Abandoned are those palace rooms. Now it's history, bed and breakfast, sun, sunshine, all that beautiful mystery, solemn and solace, drowned oceanic currents of timeless space, memories, names, people, numbness, lost in worldly space. End poem.
Great job, Bobby. And I think Jasna has always a great descriptive way about her poetry, not even as much as in each line, but the entire thing. She really paints a great picture. So awesome job, Jasna. And let's go with you, Lou, please.
Am I unmuted?
You are.
You know, I thought this was wonderfully penned. Each stanza brought out something. You know, what I was looking at that, how she caught that red velvet. And, you know, I was looking at the photograph in the background. There's a little table with a wash basin and water. And then you see a piano. And then on the table, it looks like there's some type of game that was just left there. You know, and the same thing with her poem. I thought she beautifully penned the details. You know, she brought out that, you know, she thought that it could possibly be that, you know, obviously somebody had money here. You know, this is where money is. You can see people dancing. You can see them drinking cocktails, like she talks about. You can see them playing games on the table. You know, this could have been, like she says in the living room, this could have been in the London or France or any place that was rich, because during that time they used heavy, everything, lace and heavy, and paintings on the wall and frescoes. And I thought that she caught that so beautifully. She took, you know, she said, what I liked here, she says, is bed and breakfast, sunshine, that beautiful mystery, you know, that room where everybody in the back goes to be together, family and friends. Wonderfully penned.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just this great way of going back in time almost. So you're looking at this old photo, but she's seeing it 100 years ago, and all of the life that's mm-hmm. in it. And it does always interest me a lot when you are looking at these places, you're just thinking of the life that was there before and just how, you know, filled with everything that it was, mm-hmm. as opposed to just complete emptiness now. So really interesting. Great job. And in the interest of time, I think we're going to kind of move on. We're going to do these a little bit faster. So I'm going to, we have like 10 more poems to go. So let's just see what we can do here. Yeah. We were very popular, Lou, this last couple of weeks. So, we're going to go through this here. So what I'm going to do is put up, Keith Palethorpe's, Pam, are you back? Oh, Pam is back. Excellent. So Pam, if you can read Keith's, that would be great. It's a nice little brevity.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. Entropy by Keith Palethorpe, and it goes like this. All the world's a stage at one stage or another of returning to the sage. The sage will rage against the darkness of impending night, but errant night and lady in distress will dance their day and deathly come to rest. The rest is for the winds of time to witness and impose a rhyme and poem.
Thank you, Pam. Really, really interesting, and interesting title of Entropy. Amazing rhyming, I thought, on this. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Another artful brevity. I like the rhythm. I like the rhyming. It had a very melodic flow to it, and it has a mysterious quality. Errant knight and lady in distress will dance their day and deathly come to rest. The rest is for the winds of time to witness and impose a rhyme. That has almost a mysterious and cryptic end to it. Like, if we can think what we want, but time has the last word. So I really enjoyed this, Keith. It's very nicely done. And great interpretation of the prompt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought it was beautiful. And Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, this was really clever and delightful. I like how he took inspiration from both Shakespeare and Dylan Thomas. Is Thompson? Dylan Thomas or Thompson? I can never remember which one. That's it. Yes, it. Yes. Thank you. You know, I like how this takes a look at the importance of history and the importance of writing down history in order that and writing it down aptly so that others may be, you know, and others may be witness to the true accounts. So wonderful brevity and very well done.
I agree. Thank you very much. And, there's Dex. I was just about to read Dex's. I don't know if he wanted to join us or not. I literally was going to give up.
Perfect.
On you. Right there. I bet you that is him. Look at that. I was literally just going to give up on you because I heard a rumor that you were coming on, and I said, I bet you're not coming. So let's read his, and look what the devil brought over here.
All right. Sounds good. This
Welcome
is Duke of St. Paul, Dexter. Thank you.
Hey,
this is Duke of St. Paul. Oh, can you hear me?
We can. Yep, go for it. All yours.
All right.
Stop talking.
this is Duke of St. Paul, Dexter Bailey. Let's begin at the end. Like holding the hand of a cadaver, an empty vessel, already fallen into the earth's arms, welcoming us to the next cycle. If you look close, you can almost see yesterday. Hear the conversations, smell the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Now solely existing in childhood memories of a birthday breakfast, but only until the day they too are embraced in their return home. End poem.
Terrific.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Thanks for joining, Duke, and great read. Lou, what are your thoughts?
What I love about this poem is how he brought the shadows to life. All these mom and pop restaurants, you know, they're slowly declining and they're slowly eroding. And what, you know, what you did is it's like walking in these old restaurants with your mother or as a child where you eat breakfast together and celebrate birthdays and take you out to eat, like you were saying, in childhood memories of birthday breakfast, but only until the day. And no matter how beautiful it was before and now how it's falling apart, we can still see the beauty of the before. Excellent poem, Dexter. Excellent read.
Thank you, Lydia.
Absolutely. And Pam, thoughts?
Yes, I really have to agree with Lou. This is beautiful. It has wonderful imagery. I love the fact that it brings us back to those childhood memories. And there's a certain, there's a tenderness to it. There's a sadness to it because it reminds us of what is missing. And I especially like, if you look close, you can almost see yesterday, hear the conversation, smell the coffee. Wonderful lines there. Very well done, Dexter.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Bobby?
I'm going to defer so we can continue on. But I have to say I really liked it. I think that's a dining car. And I like the fact that you mm-hmm. really brought the path forward in this. I really enjoyed that, an empty vessel. Boy, that is really an apt phrase on that one.
Excellent, thank you. Yes, and I do want to give Duke a chance if you want to. I don't know if you want to say anything about your poem at all, Duke. Up to you. Don't have to.
No. I was just the earth has a thing about absorbing and bringing everything back into it, and you know, and when these people that with these memories die, that restaurant will die out too. So anyway, thank you.
Interesting. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we saw a lot of themes tonight. So thank you, Duke. All right. I'm going to give this next one a read by somebody that's fairly new to the site, but they've been on the last couple of contests for us, which is great. This is called Smile by Pee Wee Cussin. And where is it here? This is prompt 27 for those following along. Well, my memories, they all fade to black, and no dream could ever bring them back. All of me, I gave up all for you. Emptiness, my soul is fading through. Every second we had, every minute we shared, have slipped away. Time has taken its fare. From an empty room, four walls, cold and gray, I write these words and begin slipping away. Smile tonight underneath strange, strange stars. The best of me has always been where you are. End poem. Great little brevity, really interesting picture. Dex, let's go with you.
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic write, and I thought that it just had such a way of tackling the thought of time from multiple different angles. You know, memories, every second, the best of me is always been where you are. I mean, it's like it's really has a lot of it says a lot about. Our concepts of time in the moment, and I thought it was very well done.
I agree. Thanks. Great comment. I really thought as well, too. I mean, that, well, my memories, they all fade to black, and no dream can ever bring them back. I thought that was a really interesting way to start as well, too, especially with, a title with Smile. Liu, let's get some comments from you.
You know, you did a fantastic job in reading this. And what I liked about the poem, when I went and looked back at the picture, it looks like it used to be an old factory of some type, because you see all these machines and wires and stuff in these four walls. And maybe these are the memories he spent with somebody that he liked or was falling in love with. And or it could be a personal way that somebody has made them feel, where they have given, you know, them everything. And, you know, and now they're a person that fades back to black.
Yeah, I agree. The picture's really interesting for everybody going along. It almost looks like these bird cages or something that are a whole bunch of them are hanging from the ceiling. It's a really, really interesting picture. Great comment, though. Thank you very much. Yeah, so we'll see if we can get through a few more. We'll just kind of leave the comments to a couple here and there. And I would like to go to the next one, which is called Grandfather's Study. And I completely lost track of who was reading, so I'm going to pick Lou so you can read this one. This is by Poetry Lover 7 called Grandfather's Study.
Okay. Grandfather's Study by Poetry Lover 7. In grandfather's musty old study, years of art, music, science, and geography flow through pages and pages of books, small and large volumes packed on shelves, stacked on the carpet floor, scattered among photo albums and maps. A globe on a wooden stand with one broken leg, torn and frayed draped by the large window near a soft brown chair filled with dust and mites. Hours spent in his sanctuary at his mahogany desk, now a room in disarray. So many years ago, I wish he could have heard me knock on the door and let me in poem.
Awesome read, as always, and I really love those last lines. I just want to comment on Poetry Lower 7.
Yeah.
So I think I have a lot of poems. This guy has, guy or girl, I'm not sure who it is, has 3,500 poems on this website, 3,500.
Yeah.
And I will say that he told me that, he or she told me that they might use this in their next book, so this one must have meant a lot to them. Oh, Joan, it's a woman. So she's going to use this in her next book, she said. So thank you very much. I'm glad this meant a lot to her. Pam, let's get some comments. I don't know if Pam stepped away or not.
Or is
Pam
muted.
Mutating?
I think she said she was going to stay on mute for a little bit. She didn't have the Baileys yet.
Oh, there you go. Okay, perfect. All right, Bobby, let's go. You didn't comment on the last one. I'll let you comment on this one.
Again, this is an example of two different writers looking at the same picture and seeing two different universes. I like the personal touch that this one has. This writer sees the history of with their grandparents and with their grandfather and the loving memories of his study and now fallen into the disrepair. Again, the other one was the books actually and the bookcase got personification. So I love the difference. I love of what the person has done here, the large and small volumes stacked on the carpet floor, scattered among photo albums and maps. They've given us a great description, but they've also given us their interpretation of it too, which I think is nicely done. So thank you, Poetry Lover 7.
Absolutely. Thank you. Nice comment. And I believe we're going to have time for one more. And I'm going to let our latest guest here, Duke, do this one. Give me a second here. I'm a poet, if you don't mind, Duke, reading this. It is, don't hold your breath, I'm going as fast as I can. It is Absence of Awe by Lou Harrison. And if you don't mind giving that a read, Duke, that would be great. This is
Okay.
I'm not sure which prompt, but oh, there it is.
Absence of Awe by Blue Harrison. Rumors. that all of the known ways are closed. What thrived in brilliant hue does now wither and run with. Grays innumerable, all sacredness licked away by busy, unseen hum. Take, take, take until the ravishing intersection of need and desire seated with an avenue to bathe each pedestrian in parabolic heaven. Just a small span within the jostle of everyday hours. Reliquary to cut close mass of dust and every echo of devotion that provided to be false. Still trails hymnal down vaulted throat. This is my body, brick by brick laid down to bring you ease, arm in arm or piled full with treasures newfound. Rampage of alley cats partaking of abandoned curbs for communion, prowling sills in depth of shuttered storefronts, fully sated on rats and the deep quiet that is sable to their antisocial sensibilities. Only the silence mourns holy grail overturned and tossed upon the fury grate. Burn, burn, burn each lush and vibrant thing is but a wick to ash, its pulse and light, a path to absolute ruin. End poem.
Great read.
Awesome read. And I always love when, I don't know if it's just me, but I always see poems within poems. So rumors, ravishing, reliquary, rampage, ruin. I like the alliteration of that, and I just kind of like it's almost telling a story of its own. So great way to end with Lou Harrison. And Lou, let's get some thoughts from you. Lou, are you on mute?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Hello. I thought Dexter did a fantastic job in reading this poem. And I love this poem by Lou Harrison. It reminded me so much of the Gothic architecture that we see in churches. And this, you know, there's so many abandoned cathedrals, especially in Europe. And I thought that she caught this wonderfully where she says to cup, you know, you could look, see this in there. To cup close the mass dust and echo of devotion. I could hear the prayers, the song, the boy choir, you know, and then, you know, we see that it's falling apart brick by brick. And then she reminds us again of alley cats partaking in the abandoned curbs for communion, which, you know, you could see people on their knees getting communion, but now there's cats, you know, and it just talks about how this is something that we can mourn. And I thought she caught that beautifully.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And Dex, you got to read it.
Yeah, I thought that this poem had a fantastic flow to it. I thought that, you know, the absence, you know, rumors ravishing. I just thought, you know, rampage, the rats, you know, even though it's a still photo, she introduced a lot of chaos into this poem and into this piece on like kind of the backdrop happening, and I just thought it was fantastic.
Excellent, thanks, Dexter. And with that, I think we're going to wrap it up. What I want to do is I'm going to let Bobby wrap it up in a second here, and I do want to just say that Perfect Sunset, Cecilia Cran, James Wood 6, and A.R. Mundell. We will get to all the your poems the next time. We have those four poems to read on the next show. And I want to thank everybody for joining. And you have the last minute there, Bobby, to wrap things up here.
So talk fast. Okay.
That's right.
our currently active contest is the Floral Fusions of Alejandro Pasquale. We need some rights here. It's a very provocative artwork. The artist has combined a physical form with flowers. and in the interpretations. The pieces we've gotten so far are quite creative, quite imaginative. So I'm hoping more people at next couple of weeks. I have to say that so I think tonight's work is going to be a real chore because we had some absolute fights this evening. And so I haven't quite landed on who the next contest artist is going to be, but I'm, as always, I'm going to look for some contrast to what the last two have been. It's because we had Frida Kahlo and we've got a man. Now we're going to have a man next, and I've discovered some new surrealists that will just make your eyes pop. So I'll let everybody be surprised. I probably should have it out in the next few days. But again, thank you to everyone who called in, for your comments, for your participation. And we hope to hear back from you in the next couple of weeks. Dan, great job.
Thanks, everybody.
Awesome.
Have
show,
a great
Bobby
night.
And Daniel.
Thanks, guys. Have
All
a great
right.
night.
And enjoy the rest of your weekend. Buen fin de semana.
You too.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.